so I had scheduled appointments with clients, and then when you all called, I quickly shifted gears. So my apologies on that, but I was not intentional, I can assure you.
All right. Well, we'll hear from you. You have up to 10 minutes. You don't need to use all of it, but we'll hear for now. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Judge, and thanks for your understanding. I don't want to diminish any of the arguments that I've already made in assignments of error 1 through 6, but I want to primarily focus just briefly on assignment of error 2. It brings up an interesting, in my view, issue, because while we talk about presumption of vindictiveness, we also see cases also talking about actual vindictiveness and the appearance of vindictiveness. And what I hopefully successfully argued is that what you see just by the timing of everything, in other words, the fact that this case had gone on for a year when the defendant decided to opt for a jury trial, which, as I've laid out, had he gone forward the day that he elected to exercise his right to a jury and just decided to plead guilty, he would have only been facing 5 years. But because he chose a jury trial, and again, the Commonwealth had this case for a year, it was literally 1 hour later after that choice was made, with no plea discussions at all up until that point, that it was mentioned that if he doesn't just plead to the DUI, that there would be this additional charge. And consequently, he decided that he didn't want to plead guilty to the DUI, so that left him really with no choice but to take the jury trial for reasons that I've already discussed within the other assignments of error. But again, I'm trying to limit my time here to focus on the fact that the Commonwealth attorney, again, who had an entire year to bring the additional charge, only did so after the defendant exercised his right. And there are plenty of cases on there that deal with retaliatory motivation or the appearance of such retaliatory motivation. I've cited them all in my petition. And then, of course, the famous line is, a prosecutor may not punish a defendant for doing what the law plainly allows him to do or retaliate against him for relying on his legal rights. Retaliation constitutes a due process violation of the most basic sort. So we believe that, and it was certainly fought out in court in a motion to quash, so it's well preserved that we believe that 1 hour after he elected to exercise his right, he was hit with another charge. If this had been close in time, or if there had been plea negotiation, which my research shows that if in the course of plea negotiations, prosecutors can do a lot of things by saying, for example, I'll drop this or drop that, or I won't indict that, and so forth, if he takes this plea. But none of those had occurred for the entire year. It wasn't until he exercised the right to a jury, and 1 hour later, it was brought up in the email that I think I offered into evidence that showed that the additional charge was coming, and that he had no choice but to either accept the plea of guilty on the DUI. So we think that is the type of vindictiveness. And admittedly, I cannot, and I think it was brought up in the original decision that I said, well, I can't show that there was actual vindictiveness. In other words, I don't have the smoking gun that says that, you know, it because he did this, I'm going to do that or so forth. But I did concede that. And it says right here, it's on page 8 of the original opinion, it says, at the hearing, appellant conceded that there was no showing of actual prosecutorial vindictiveness. I don't know that has changed. I mean, my position remains the same, that I don't have that. What I do have is the email 1 hour after, and a year later, by the way, a year and 1 hour, hour essentially, later, after he chose exercise his most fundamental right. And then we get hit with that. So to me, that smacks of of, at minimum, the appearance of vindictiveness. And I think that, that forced him into a box. And then when you add that situation, or that threat, if you will, to the fact that the judge said, well, there are two other things that kind of go hand in hand with this. One, the judge says, well, I'm not going to allow you retreat or withdraw your request for a jury. I'm asking for a jury this time, so you must do this. And knowing that, the prosecutor knew that he had no choice but to either plead guilty or face a jury. That even compounds the matter that she did 1 hour later after he made that decision. And then, to make matters worse, after the jury found him guilty, the prosecutor argues, well, this is what the jury found, he asked the jury, and he gets what he gets because the jury found it. The citizenry of Chesapeake know what people should get, and I argued, no, they don't. The guidelines were substantially lower than that, and that anybody who had taken a simple plea would not have ended up with 10 years. I've done this long enough to know that. Could he have? Yes. But would he have? I've not seen one yet in all my years. But so when you look at the sort of the snowball effect of that one decision that the prosecutor made, she not only forced the jury situation, but then once she gets the 10 years, she then argues, even though she was willing to say, well, if he pleads guilty to the DUI, we won't indict him on this charge, she proceeds to say, well, the jury has spoken, jury gave him 5 years, and therefore the judge should give him 5 years, without even blinking an eye about the fact that she was willing to go along with a plea agreement of at the most 5 years. Of course, obviously, we know now that he got 10 years. So that's really, to me, the most pressing issue. All the other things are spelled out on that. Obviously, I think they're of equal importance, but I wanted to spend my time focusing on that because I think if that is ruled upon and in our favor, then that is we're really right back to where we would have been had he decided to plead guilty, except for the fact that he got 5 years. Well, maybe we would have gotten less, but at least it would have put him back in that he would have been had he simply pleaded guilty on the day that he was to go to court, which was September 18th of 2019, I believe it was. And so that's what we're asking for. I don't know if you all had any questions or anything, but and again, my apologies sincerely about